We're looking at building relationships today, and our passage of scriptures I'll be taking from James 1:19. Heavenly Father, we just pray that you would guide us this morning. Help us to realize that you take special interest in our relationships, that those relationships are very important to you. Sometimes it's hard for us to reach out beyond ourselves and to get acquainted with new people, to get to know them and to be a part of their lives and let them be a part of our lives. But we just pray that you would speak to our hearts this morning and help us to realize how vital it is for us to share our lives with those around us. Help us to be a friendly church. Help us to be a loving church. Help us to be a church that reaches out to those who are visiting and newcomers. Help us to be a person who is open on the job to letting people be our friends. Help us to be those that are open to the needs of the people, that the pain and the anguish and the difficulties and confusions that those people around us go through. Help us to be available to them, to listen to them and to receive those things that they have going on in their lives and in their hearts. People are suffering. Our society is suffering. Those around us are going through difficult times and they need a friend. And we just want to learn this morning from your word how to go about being that friend. Bless us, anoint us, empower us to be friends to the friendless. In Jesus' name, amen. Turn in your Bibles to James 1:19, where the Bible says, "My dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry." The Bible is mind-blowing for me. I am just always amazed at its ability to take one sentence and to cover so much territory in just that small sentence. This has been one of those passages of Scripture that has been very impressive to me. I've been using this. I've been a counselor for 26 years, and I've been using this particular passage for quite a while. I didn't start out using it. I started out using a lot of other types of advice and using various different kinds of instruction, and I wasn't getting much results. And as I began to put more and more of the Word of God into my counseling process, the more God moved in a powerful and mighty way to change the lives of people. And this became one of my most important passages of Scripture on those people who were struggling, especially with marriages and struggling on their jobs and various types of relationship issues. This became one of my most important passages of Scripture to build a foundation in a person's life to help them to start to see the miraculous power of God start to take over and help them to be open and available to the needs of other people. One of the things that bothers us a lot of times is that we just feel like we don't know what to say. I don't know if you go through this or not, but this has been one of the things that just kind of blocks me off, where I don't want to walk up to someone because I kind of feel lost. I feel like, well, I'm going to walk over to this person. My mom taught me not to speak to strangers, and so I never did learn how to talk to people I didn't know. And so now I am responsible for going around and meeting people that I don't know, talking to them, getting acquainted with them. And I thought, well, how do I do that? And I just, as I started to reach out in this direction, I found myself in a lot of tension, where I didn't feel comfortable. And I'm sure that the people that were talking to me, I'm sure they didn't feel comfortable talking to me either, because there was a lot of gaps, space in there where no one was saying anything. We're just kind of looking at each other, wondering, well, wonder what they're going to say next. And it was just one of those things. I just wanted to just say hi and walk off and leave them alone and them leave me alone, because it just wasn't fun. I wanted to go talk to my friends, people that I already developed a relationship with. But the Bible talks to us and tells us that God considers that whatever we do to the people around us is being done to Him. Whatever you do to the least of these, my brethren, you do to me. And that began to open up my heart to an entirely different concept. when I was talking to someone and trying to reach out to them, I was thinking about me. I wasn't thinking about them. I was trying to, in some cases, just do my duty. There was some other cases sometimes I was just trying to do what someone told me to do. When they'd talk to us and say, now we need to all be friendly. You need to go around and talk to the new visitors. And I think, oh, okay, I'll do it. I don't want to, but I'll do it. And as I would go out, I would think about me. My mind was predominantly on me and my situation and what they thought about me and how they felt about me. And as I began to make that transition into the realization of the fact that this is not about me. This is me ministering to Jesus. This is me reaching out to the needs of other people. And it's just like me talking to Jesus. And that Jesus considers that moment in time when I'm talking to this person as me befriending him. And that helped me a lot with the whole process of understanding what it was that I was trying to do, trying to develop that family relationship to where that I began to broaden those people in my life and make more friends and have more friends and enjoy more and more people's company. And as I started to reach out in that direction, I got more friends. It wasn't easy at first, but the objective that we have in our lives today is everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get mad or get angry. Here we have a man who has a desire to listen and then the ability to do so. There are some of us who like listening. There's others of us who like talking. And sometimes it's difficult for us to get a conversation going because if two listeners get together, that's what you experience. Both of them are listening. Nobody's talking. If you get two talkers together, then you get some sort of a duet to where that everybody's talking simultaneously. And no one's listening. For some people, it's easy to listen. But it's not easy for them to get to that place where they're listening. So that if you walk up to someone and you start to listen to them and no one's saying anything, that's an embarrassing moment for you. And what the Bible is really talking about here and being quick to listen is to be quick to and desirous to get to know this other person. One of the first things that I have discovered in my conversations with people who have a hard time going over to a stranger and talking to them is they've already decided that the person doesn't like them. They probably wouldn't like me. They probably don't care anything about me coming over and talking to them. They probably are not interested in anything that I have to say. I was counseling with one lady, and she was wanting some scriptures to help her go and talk to some other people, and we had spent quite a lot of time together. And in the process of talking, I began to realize that there was this prejudging of people. And so as I began to give out these scriptures, they were all about judging. And she became immediately offended, said, well, are you saying I'm being judgmental? And I said, yeah. She said, well, I don't feel like I judge people. I said, well, then what do you think when you are standing there trying to decide whether or not you're going to go talk to someone? What do you think? Well, she said, I look at people and they're not smiling and I think they're probably crabby, and that if I did go over and talk to them, that they would be difficult to talk to. And I said, what would you call that attitude and those thoughts that you're having about that person? Judgment? That's what is going on in your life and is keeping you, it's alienating you from being able to go and talk to other people. And I'm going to give you an assignment, and I want you to try it out this Sunday. And she said, okay. And so I said, I want you to just go over and smile real big and just be extremely friendly to just one or two people. But before you go, I want you to stand there and I want you to go over what all you thought about that person, what you decided that they were like before you went. And then I want you to remember what they were like when you actually got there and talked to them. And she came back and she was so impressed with how different these people were than what she thought they were. And that's one of the first things that we have to realize is that people are innocent until proven guilty. And we're not there to prove them guilty. We are there to accept the innocence of that person and to say, this person needs fellowship. This person is going to enjoy my company. This person is looking forward to talking to someone. Christy and I pastored a church in Monterey for 20 years. And during that time, you know, being pastor and pastor's wife, people would talk to us. There would be people who would make appointments to come in and sit down and talk to us. There were people who would invite us over to their houses. When we were in the church services, after the services were over, we'd be standing around and people would be asking us questions. And as you can imagine, as the years went by, we were more and more involved in people's lives. And by the time 20 years was up, we were very involved in all of the people there's lives. And so we talked to them and they talked to us all the time. And there was that constant activity. And all of a sudden, Christy and I got to a place to where that we were just so burned out, we just couldn't pastor any longer. We had just completely used up everything we had. And so we resigned from that church and we went off and we did what every other person had been doing in that community. We moved to Texas and we started looking for a church. Ever been there? Whoa, that's not fun. We started looking for a church, and as we would go into those churches, they would have signs it had words on the signs that said, the friendliest church in town. And they were. They were extremely friendly to one another. They were laughing and talking and having a great time, and Christy and I were standing there watching them be the friendliest church in town. And no one talking to us. No one even knew we came in. No one even cared that we came in. And we felt lonely. We felt rejected. We felt like we couldn't get in. We wanted in. We wanted someone to talk to us. So finally we decided to just take the bull by the horns. And so we started going around and talking to people. And they talked to us, but you could tell they couldn't wait to stop talking to us. Because they had a lot of other people that they liked a lot better, that they enjoyed talking to a lot more. And so I joined the group of wall holders. I know you've seen them. Mostly guys. They're standing along the wall and they're holding the wall up to keep them from falling on you. And they're standing there up against the wall and they're just watching. And I joined the ranks of the wall holders. And I just stood there up against a wall somewhere, waiting for Christy to stop talking to people and go home. We went to one church. And the pastor and his wife invited us out. We were so excited. We went out to a Mexican food there in Dallas. And the pastor had this huge smile on his face and he said, So, what do you guys want to do in the church? And we said, well, you know, the thing is that we're really kind of burned out and we're wanting to go through some sort of a sabbatical here and just rest a little bit. And his face dropped. And from that point on, they didn't want to talk to us anymore. So one day, I had something on my heart. I kept thinking, well, maybe we should do something. And so I got to thinking about maybe I ought to help start the library. And so they had some books that told how to start the library that they had purchased. And so I went to him, and I was talking to him about possibly getting involved in starting the library. And I heard this singing. And I stopped talking and I listened, and the pastor was standing there And he wasn't looking at me or anything. He was just standing there, and he was singing. I got the impression that maybe he wasn't interested in what I was saying. Just humming to himself. These are exciting experiences. And the thing is that there are a few little things that we can do that minister to the needs of people. Christy and I were lonely. Christy and I were lost. Christy and I were in a whole new area with no friends. And we just wanted some friends. And we didn't know how to go about getting those friends. And we needed some people who knew how to help us get those friends and be welcomed in the church and made a part of that church. They're not like we think they are. We cannot prejudge people. They are not like we expect them to be. And just because they look sad and lonely and depressed and discouraged and frustrated and sometimes angry, just because they have those looks on their face, we cannot read them like we think we can. There are things that we have in common with each other. And we have to find out what those common denominators are. We just are looking for those elements of this other person, helping them to get to this point where they are discussing their lives with us. And that process of getting people to talk to us and share their lives with us is probably one of the most important aspects of our entire ministry. Is that it's not so much that we need to go around teaching people the Word of God as it is going around finding out what people need. When some person would come up to Jesus, they would be wearing blind person's clothes. They would be blind as they could be. And people were having to help them over to him to get him to talk to them. And he would ask those persons who were obviously blind, ask them, "What do you want?" And that's the hard part that we have, is getting to know the person and allowing them to share their life with us by asking them questions and getting them to open up and share their lives with us. And pretty soon, as they're sharing their lives with us, we find out that there is so much about them that's so much like us. But the whole process comes by being quick to listen. I was counseling a lady, and she was just going on and on and on and on and on about how horrible it was to have lost her baby. And she kept talking, and I would ask more questions, and she'd talk some more and tell some more and tell some more. And pretty soon, after quite a while of asking questions, and she just finally stopped. And she said, "Why won't you help me?" And I said, "Well, I've done that before where I thought I understood what the person was going through, and I would just jump in there and start trying to help, only to discover that I didn't know what the problem was yet. And so I'm asking questions to get to know you better, to understand your situation, so that when I do help, it'll be real help." And so then we went back into that relationship of her talking to me, asking questions, and pretty soon all of a sudden I thought, "Aha! I think I understand what it is." And so then I started off giving advice. And it wasn't but just a short period of time until she stopped me and said, "No, that's not it." I still didn't get it. I still didn't have it. It still was not down to the core issues of the things that were eating away at our heart and our life and our soul. If I didn't have a thing to say, if I didn't have any advice to give, I still was able to help her to get all of those things opened up in her life to where that she was able to get them out in the open. And a lot of times it's just one of those things where that people are not necessarily coming to us for us to know what to say, as giving them an opportunity to share their lives with us, to share their hearts with us, and make themselves known to us so that we understand them and we can identify with them and can get to know them better. And you will not know them better if you do not spend time asking them those questions. Starting out with general questions. One of the first things that we need to do is not trying to find something specific, but just finding general questions that start off the relationship. To where that it can start off with the weather. It can start off with where they live. It can start off with what kind of job they do. It can start off with all sorts of things about where they've been in their life, of what kind, how many kids they have or what kind of family they have, what kind of experiences they've had, just general questions, and then wait for the answer. And let them share their hearts and their lives. And all of a sudden, you've got a wall holder who is starting to melt into your life and the church's life. Amen? Let the answer develop into new questions. Now, the next thing that the Bible says here is be slow to speak. Now, that kind of sounds like quick to listen, doesn't it? If you're not talking, then you must be listening. But that's just not true. When Christy walks into my office, if she starts talking, then she's going to soon be saying to me, "You're not listening." Men, have you ever heard that? "You're not listening"? How many of you have heard that? "You're not listening"? Never heard that in your life. I hear you. "You're not listening." Well, I was busy thinking about something else. And so if she just walks in and I'm concentrating on what I'm working on the computer or a book of and studying, whatever, when she just walks in and just starts talking, my brain is locked in on what it is that I'm doing at the moment. And so I'll have to turn to her and say, "Could you repeat that?" Just because someone's talking doesn't mean we're listening. First, they have to get our attention. Especially in arguments, we find ourselves thinking what we're going to say next while someone else is talking. So they're talking, but we're not hearing them because we're thinking, "Well, this is what I want to say is," and so we're going through all of those things. Especially in arguments, that's the case. But in other times, someone may be telling us something, and we're thinking about something else. We're not really engaging in their life. What the Bible is talking about is, in being slow to speak, is being slow to develop those things that you want to say. Letting those things ride while you are listening and getting involved and asking questions of the person around you. And what that does is that melts people together. It helps people to start having a fellowship and a relationship with one another that they don't have. I was sitting in the living room in Connecticut. We were having Thanksgiving dinner there, and all of our entire family, kids, son-in-laws, grandkids, were all there, and we're all sitting in the living room, and everyone had their own iPad, iPhone, i-something, and they were all over there working on that, and we were all sitting there. We had flown to Connecticut to be together, and there we are sitting there together, having spent all that money and time and effort, and we're all sitting around looking at our iPads. We think, "What's wrong with this picture? What's wrong with this picture?" We're not fellowshipping. We're not getting to know one another. We're not enjoying one another's company. You're at a restaurant, and you're sitting there, and you look across at someone else sitting in a booth, and there's two people. And there's two people sitting there, one across from the other, and one of them's talking on the phone. Hello? We are not fellowshipping. And if we are, we're fellowshipping with someone somewhere else. We get to the place to where that we know those people on TV. They're now trying to get you, and I've been doing this for quite a while, so I'm not saying brand new, but more and more are they trying to get us to get online and find out more about those TV characters. They're trying to get us actively engaged in the lives where that we start to get those things about them, and we'll learn more about them than we know about our own friends. Why is that? Because sometimes it's more difficult for us to cross that barrier into the life of someone else that we don't know. And it's easier for us to have that observation mentality of just sitting there being one who is watching everything go on, to where that there's no real interaction and there's no danger in us saying something stupid. I don't know about you, but it's just one of those normal things for me. I have foot and mouth disease. I just opened up my mouth long enough to change feet. I know what it's like to say something stupid. I'm trying to find out what it's like to not say something stupid. had a friend, and he'd come home, and he'd say, okay, was there anything there that I said that wasn't stupid? It's one of those things to where that it's just embarrassing how many things that I can come up with and say that I wish I hadn't said. Have you ever laid in bed at night, just laying there thinking, man, I should have said that. I wish I'd have said this. I should have said that. Have you ever done that? And it causes you to feel like, well, if you're that stupid, you don't even deserve to talk. Don't talk to anyone. You go to Proverbs and it says, even a fool can stand there with his mouth shut and people think he's wise. You think, yeah, baby, that's my scripture. I'm going to just stand there and look wise. It's a sacrifice on our part sometimes to where that we get to this place to where that we want us to talk to people. We want to be actively involved in them. And there was just so much wrong with our people skills to where that we just don't feel qualified to get actively involved. But the thing is that we got to listen to God. We have to be willing to understand that it's not us conjuring up those things that we want to say. We want to get to those places where we speak what God wants us to say. And we're praying and seeking Him. We're keeping James 1:26, keeping a tight rein on our tongue to where that we don't just blurt out stuff, where we're not just saying things. But we're seeking God because we're talking to another human being and we don't always know what they're going through. Even your best friends sometimes are going through things that you don't know what they're going through. And a lot of times they just don't want to share it. My son-in-law, Mark, he has a tremendous gift of wisdom for his age. It's amazing the wise things that come out of his mouth. I'm always impressed with people coming to him and they will ask him questions and he will counsel them. And God just gives him great concepts. And they'd been working in the church on, he's an elder, and they'd been working on the church, in the church on the elders being more open and reaching out more to the needs of other people. And so they'd say, how are you doing? And people would say, fine. And they say, no, how are you doing? And they were on vacation, and they talked with this couple, and so Mark was sitting in the living room, and he asked this guy, how are you doing? Oh, fine, you know, things going pretty good. And he said, no, how are you doing? And he started crying and started pouring out his life to him and telling him these things that he hadn't told anyone. And his wife walked in, and she said, what are you doing? And he said, well, I didn't know that he was going to get so personal with me about what I was doing, how I was doing. All he said was, no, how are you doing? He didn't dig in and say, no, you tell me what's going on in your life. He didn't get personal like that. He just showed an interest. And it opened up. And they had communication with one another. It's in those areas of being slow to speak, in those things of waiting for God to open up your mouth and show you the thing to say. Our objective is not to sit there and try to convince them of how great we are and how qualified we are. We're there to be friends with people. And it's our desire, it's our objective to build them up and to help them to understand that we love them. Sometimes we get so caught up in wondering what other people think about us. It's not all about us. It's about them. Their needs, their wounds, their damage, their situations, their circumstances. It's about them. And it's our duty, it's our job, it's our relationship with one another to build one another up. I know of people who, if you've got a fault, they know what it is. They won't see your qualities, but they will know every fault you've got. Ever met any of those? So what did you think about the service? Well, and what are you going to get? Something negative. So what did you think about that house we just looked at? Well, so what did you think about this thing I did? Well, and you're going to get something negative, negative, negative. And what our job is not to find out what people's faults are, what people's problems are, what people's difficulties are, what we can dig out of them. It is to build them up. This whole thing in Ephesians 4:39 is saying to us, bring 29, only what is helpful for building others up. Isn't that great? That builds such an awesome relationship when all of a sudden we are looking at those ways that we can build someone up, and it causes community. It causes fellowship. It causes people's loneliness to be driven away. It sets them free from that friendlessness that they find themselves in when they are just filled with disappointment and discouragement and frustrations and helplessness and hopelessness in their lives. That people care about them and people are reaching out to them. It heals. It blesses, doesn't it? Isn't it great to have friends? I'm glad you said yes. It's wonderful to have friends. It's wonderful to have people to fellowship with. But we can't do that if we don't open up our hearts and reach out to people. And it means strangers. It means those people that we don't know. The friendliest church in town was the friendliest church in town on a clique relationship. There were cliques all over that foyer of people talking to people and having a great time while all sorts of strangers were walking all through that area of the church, and none of those people were being incorporated into the group. And it's our objective to reach out to every person and start to form a relationship with them and reach to their out to their own lives and make them a part of our lives and say, here, you, come over here. My grandson came walking into a brand new school when he came to Connecticut. And he was dressed a certain way and had certain style of hair and looked a certain way. So as he walked in, this group who had the same kind of clothes and had the same type of hair and was looking the same way said to him, hey, you. Come over here and join us. And he immediately was in. We can do that. We can reach out to people and say, hey, you, join us. As you go around taking each person and saying, I would like to introduce you to this person, and just get them acquainted with the people in the church. They're not going to be able to memorize all their names, but all of a sudden, you've taken them under your wing and you're helping them to get acquainted with all the people in the church. And what happens is that person starts to feel a part of the church. And the next thing you know, they're sitting there all relaxed. And as the Spirit of God starts to move through that service, they're just so relaxed and so open that the Holy Spirit starts to talk to their hearts and starts to heal those areas of their life and starts to meet their needs and melts them into His family. One of the things about not knowing what to say is sometimes the thing not to say is advice. One of the first things that we like to do sometimes is a person says, well, I'm going through this, and we want to tell them how to handle it. But a lot of times people don't need advice. A lot of times people need sympathy. They need someone who has a listening ear that cares for them and is concerned for the things they're going through. And let them know that they are concerned and that they feel compassion toward them and those needs that they're going through. A lot of times it's just letting them know that we care and that we're hurting with them. The Bible says that when people are suffering, suffer with them. When people are rejoicing, rejoice with them. And it brings us to a whole new realm of not necessarily having to have something unique to say, something filled with wisdom, something awesome that we said that just blows everyone out of the water. Say, whoa, boy, was that the right answer. We just don't always get those, do we? Slow to become angry. Now, is this guy mad or what? Now, the whole process of anger is that it depends on how low our threshold is of being offended. You understand what I'm saying? Some people can get offended real easy. It's kind of like what they used to say, they've got a chip on their shoulder, to where that someone would reach over and pick up a little stick or something and put it on their shoulder and would say to someone, you want to fight? Well, if you want to fight, then knock this off of my shoulder. And I formed that statement of getting a chip on your shoulder. You're looking for a fight. Whoop, you knocked the chip off my shoulder. Come over here, we're going to have it out. And we just have this quick trigger, being ready to respond to those things that are going on in our lives that upset us and that we don't like and that we're frustrated about, and those things that we find ourselves getting agitated. And then we go over and we talk to someone and say, well, I talked to them and they just were real snooty. I didn't like the way they talked about, bragged about their stuff. I'm not going to talk to them anymore because they think they're more important and better than me. And all sorts of things lay on that threshold line of just knocking that chip off of our shoulder where we decide, okay, I'm upset with them. I've cut them off. I've decided I'm not going to reach out to them. All of these things that can happen to us that cause us to breach our relationships and not be a family. This is a church. You know what a church is? It's the family of God. This is a church, and your needs are going to best be met if you feel comfortable in your relationship with the people around you. You're going to grow spiritually by learning how to incorporate a lot of other people into your lives. Things are going to change in your Christian walk. Things are going to change in your relationship with God, because God is measuring our worship, and one of the elements of our worship that He measures is how we reach out to the needs of other people. Whatever you do to the least of these, my brethren, you do to me. And as we reach out to the needs of other people, we find ourselves growing in our spiritual condition. We find God blessing us in a special way as we start to allow people to influence our lives and become a part of our circle. The first thing we want to examine is that it's not about us. Romans 12:3 is dealing with the fact that we should not think of ourselves more highly than we ought to. That it's just not about us. It doesn't matter about what they think. It doesn't matter what they feel. It doesn't matter what they do. It doesn't matter how they say it. It doesn't matter how they approach it. I'm just not mad at them. I still love them. I still care for them. They may have done evil things to us, but we do good to those who do evil. Amen? Amen? Amen. Amen? Do good to those who despitefully use you. Is that a scripture or is that a Mel verse? Which is it? Scripture. Do good. It's not about us, is it? It's helping them. It's concentrating on them. We all get nerds in our businesses. We all get jerks that come in that are wanting to buy something out of our companies, don't we? We all have to rub elbows with people that they lack people skills, don't they? Don't they? Or are you in a different place than I've always worked? People can be real jerks, can't they? And yet, because you want to go ahead and have their business, you go ahead and say, well, how can I help you? And we talk to them nice, and we find that a gentle answer turns away wrath. Your voice gets softer, and you talk slower, and you just take this belligerent person, and you lead them into a place to where that they can be helped. Because we want to get beyond those things that build barriers between us, don't we? We want to love one another as we love Christ. We want to love one another. We want to open up our hearts to one another. If we come into this building and we're a bunch of strangers, you understand that it's going to hinder the work of God, don't you? If we come into this building and we just come in and sit down and we have this wall built around all of us, there's not going to be a mighty move of the Holy Spirit. If we come in and we're already upset with the people in the church, we're already frustrated with the things that are going on, and we're already decided that we're just not going to open up our hearts to anybody, that we're just going to come in and we're going to worship God. We like God, but we can't stand people. If we could just get the people element out of the church, we would be happy. We would be so much nicer. And so we find ourselves crawling into our private closet and trying to work out a relationship with God without attending church, without being a part of the church, without getting involved with the people. And the Bible says to not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. It is an involvement in that fellowship of two or three gathering together in my name. I'll be in your midst. Praise God. That's an exciting promise. And that's what's going on in our church, but we have to take it to the next level. We cannot plateau here where we are. We have to take it on to that next level to where that we start to open up our hearts and start to get involved in one another's lives. And it becomes important for us to whatever happens to us, to forgive them of anything they do to us that we don't like. Amen? If we forgive other people their trespasses and sins, our Heavenly Father will forgive us. Which means in the next verse he's saying, if you don't, he won't. Very next verse. I don't like that next verse, do you? I don't want that lack of forgiveness from God. I want my Heavenly Father to forgive me. I make too many mistakes for him to not forgive me. I'm going to need that on a regular basis. And it comes this point where we say to each other, okay, there are things that you've done, and especially in smaller communities, we find that there have been things that have happened 10 years ago that we still remember. And we don't let old things pass away and all things become new, do we? We will hold it against them for the rest of their lives. We have to forgive. We have to forgive. Because that's what opens up the blessings of God in our lives. Because he says he will forgive us if we'll forgive them. That's a promise. And this takes our church to the next level. It takes our church to the place to where that we become channels through which God flows. And it comes in this realm of association and relationship with one another. This is the next step for our church. This is our next assignment. As people in our church, we've got to be the friendliest church in town, not because we're trying to grab somebody else's people, but we've got to be the friendliest church in town to strangers that come into our church because they have needs when they come. They are suffering when they come, and they need our fellowship.